okay?
Yeah.
This next song is it's kind of My God Is Real. I'd never heard of it before, and Sister Claire asked if we could do it. I think she said her mom used to sing this to her when she was a little girl.
Amen. Amen.
So, our God is real, right?
Yes. Praise the Lord.
I hope I don't mess this up. There are some things I may not know. There are some things that I can't go, but I am sure by this one thing that God is real, for I can feel it within.
Amen.
My God is real.
Yes.
Real in my soul.
Thank you.
My God is real, for He has washed and made me whole.
Yes. Amen.
He's up for me. If I could know, my God is real, for I can hear and He's in my soul. Some folks may come, some folks may come, all can go home and hear me alone. But as for me, I'll take God's call. God is real, for I can feel it in my heart.
Amen.
My God is real.
Yes.
Real in my soul. My God is real, for He has washed and made me whole.
Thank you, Jesus.
He's up for me. If I could go. My God is real, for I can feel
that's good.
I cannot tell just how you felt when Jesus took your sin away.
Amen.
But since that day, yes, since that hour, God has been real, for I can feel His holy power.
Amen.
God is
yes.
Real in my soul.
Thank you, Lord.
My God is real, for He has washed and made me whole. He's up for me. If I could go, my God is real, for I can feel Him deep in my soul.
Amen. 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 If you have your Bibles, turn to 1 John chapter 5. I think they were going to say something to you, Brother Phil. 1 John chapter 5. That's not the Gospel of John. That's at the end of your Bible. 1 John chapter 5. I want to share with you a message I do believe would be a great help to every one of us, especially if we make consistent application of this truth. Of course, you have to be a born-again believer, a saved person. The only prayer really a lost person can pray is, Lord, save me. But after that, it opens up so much more for us. Amen? That's the most important thing for a lost person, is to become a follower of Christ, a saved individual. But in 1 John chapter 5, some of you are very familiar with verse 13. This is a verse that talks about the assurance of our salvation. I love verse 12. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Salvation is having Jesus.
Amen.
If you don't have Jesus, you don't have life. You don't have eternal life. Amen?
Amen.
But as John continues to write, he writes to us about to praying with confidence. And I want to preach to you this morning on the subject of praying God's will. Praying God's will. That's in 1 John chapter 5. We'll read two verses, verses 14 and 15. These verses have been a great blessing to me. And I just hope and pray and trust that they'll be a blessing to you as well. Notice verse 14. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us.
Amen.
And notice this next verse. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. Isn't that good?
Amen.
I know that if I pray in God's will, God will hear me. And I know if He hears me, I have the petition that I ask of Him. And I tell you, this should help you in your prayer life greatly, tremendously. If you'll keep these verses in mind, hopefully we'll share some things with you today that will help along those lines. But you pray for us as we pray and ask God's blessing on the service. Amen. Father, we thank You that in the name of Jesus, Lord, You are with us. We thank You that You, God, hear and answer us when we pray. Lord, we thank You this past month where we can emphasize the subject of prayer. Lord, we still realize that we not need to grow much in our prayer life. We need Your help. We beg for Your help. Lord, we want to pray as Christ prayed. Lord, as the apostles prayed. Lord, some of our great church fathers, men of faith, and women of faith prayed. And Lord, we still feel a desperate need to cry out to You and say, Lord, teach us to pray. We ask, Holy Spirit, that You might do that this day, that You would take the Word of God and illuminate our hearts and our minds and give us understanding, and then also give us grace to be able to apply it. Not just to hear the Word, but be a doer of the Word. Father, You said that Your Word would not return unto You void, but it would accomplish its purpose. And Lord, we trust that this morning it will accomplish its purpose. We ask if there's any among us that are lost, that You might draw them to Jesus today, that they would be saved in this very service. Lord, save the lost. But also we pray, God, that You would strengthen Your children. And Lord, help us in this area of our life we find ourselves so deficient in, the area of prayer. Please, Lord, again, help us and minister to us. And change us and make us more like Jesus, for it's in Jesus' name we pray and ask these things. Amen.
Amen.
There are so many passages in the Bible that give us great confidence when we pray that if we pray, God will hear us. I'm amazed. I don't know if you're amazed. I'm amazed when I look at His promises concerning prayer. Because they're so plain, but they're so broad, they're so deep and so high, it seems like God says to us, if we ask Him anything limitlessly, that He would answer it.
Right.
That's how He presents those promises in His Word, right? Mm-hmm. That God would answer any prayer, that He would do anything that's necessary for us. And that He loves us and He wants us to bring our petitions to Him. Notice, for instance, an example of this is Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Isn't that a great promise from God concerning prayer? Listen to this in Psalm 2 and verse 8. Listen to this. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Wow. Amen?
Amen.
You say, well, that's to the Son, yes. And we're hid in the Son, and we should be asking the same thing that the Son would be asking. Right? So that's a promise to us as well, because we're hid in Christ. You're familiar with this one, Matthew 7, verses 7 and 8. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. You see how he makes it just as broad as he can make it, right? Everyone that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Amen. What about Mark chapter 11, verse 24? Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when you pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Isn't that something? When I pray, I'm to believe that I'm going to receive it. Are y'all with me on this? And he says, ye shall have them. What is one of our big problems when we pray? Faith. You know how we have a stronger faith? We have a stronger faith by spending more time with Jesus. That's how our faith increases. If we abide in Him, if we know Him, our faith is unshakable. And we have great confidence to the point that we would say to this mountain, be cast into the sea and it would be done. Amen?
Amen.
Those aren't just words in the Bible just to read and entertain us. There's reality to that. There's truth to that. Amen?
Amen?
What about this in Ephesians 3 and verse 20? Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask to think according to the power that worketh in us. When's the last time you prayed a big prayer? And you think, well, that's asking a lot. I don't know if God's going to do that. He said, I'm able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or think. Isn't that a great promise concerning prayer?
Amen.
What kind of need do you have as a Christian, a child of God? Whatever that need is, God assures you that He can meet that need.
Right.
God can meet that need, no matter what's going on in your life. Amen?
Amen.
And by the way, there are many more promises than that. How many of y'all know that's true? But I find in 1 John 5, 14 and 15, probably the most helpful, instructive promises on prayer, and all these others are very necessary as well, but this has really helped me, and I hope and pray that it'll help you as well. Because it opens up the entire Bible to us really as a prayer book. And it says, anything that is God's will, if we ask God concerning His will, He will hear us. And if He hears us, we know that we will have what we ask of the Father. There's no doubt about it. And so when you think about your prayer life, I hope that maybe you'll remember these verses. And as you pray, try to pray according to God's will. Everything that we everything that we need is stated in the Word of God.
Amen.
There's not anything God has left unrevealed or undealt with. There's no problem that you're facing today that God has not covered in the Scriptures. And that He wants you to bring those Scriptures to Him in prayer, saying, God, I know You'll do this. You promised that You'd do this. You committed yourself to do it. Now do it. And in praying that way, you should have confidence that God is going to answer that prayer. Amen?
Amen?
If we believe the Bible, if we believe the record that God has given us here in His Word, and I do believe this is absolutely true.
Amen.
So notice, first of all, our confidence. The word confidence means that when we pray, we have free and fearless assurance that God will give us what we're asking Him for. free and fearless assurance that God will give us. You know, really one of the things that hinders our prayer life the most is when we ask for something and then we wonder whether or not God is going to do that. How many of y'all know that's true?
Amen.
That's probably one of our biggest hurdles in prayer. Probably unrighteousness and sin in our life would be the top one, because God won't hear us when we have sin in our life. But next to that, I would imagine, would be just, I don't know if God is going to do that or not. You know? I know I need that, but is God going to give that to me? And John says the way that you deal with that unbelief is to know that you're praying in God's will, and we know if we're praying in God's will, we have confidence that is a guarantee that God will do what His will is. Could you imagine, for example, someone truly asking for the Lord to save them and God just ignoring that prayer? He never has ignored that prayer, has He? If you've sincerely asked the Lord to save you, let me assure you of this, God has answered that prayer and has saved you. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen?
Amen.
You say, preacher, I don't feel like I'm saved. I don't think I'm saved. I have so much trouble. Well, either you can have confidence in yourself or confidence in Christ.
Right.
You're far better off to have confidence in Christ because of what Christ promised that He would do. Amen?
Amen.
Of course, if we ask Him to save us, He'll save us. Well, guess what? That's not the only promise that He's going to give us, an assurance that He will do what He said He would do. That can't be the only one, right? That can't be the only thing God stands behind. Okay, one prayer. Only one prayer I will answer, and that is if you ask me to save you. Now, all the rest, you're just going to have to question and doubt and wonder. That doesn't sound like our God at all, does it? He wants us to come with Him when we make requests with a strong, fearless confidence. I will have this. I will receive this. This is headed toward me. God has answered this. I know I will obtain this. How many of you, when you pray, that is the spirit that you pray in? I know God is going to give this to me. And if that's not the spirit you pray in, it's because you and I are not praying with this confidence that we are praying in the will of God. How do I know that I'm praying in the will of God? Well, if I'm praying His words to Him, His commands to Him, His promises to Him, I cannot be praying outside of His will. Amen? I'm telling you, it's a battle of faith. But that battle, a lot of times, is settled when we know what I'm asking for, God has committed Himself to it already. Isn't that good? A lot of times we do have doubt because we're praying for things that we're not really certain that is God's will for us. Right? And so there is a clarification here. He's not saying that He's just going to give us anything that we ask for. Did He say that? I'll give you anything you ask for. No, He said, I'll give you anything you ask for in My will.
Right. Amen.
That's where we have to come to God in belief and faith. It's, I'm asking something and I know this is the will of God. When we don't have that clarification, we slip into James 4 and verse 3. You ask amiss to consume it upon your own lust. That is a prayer that we might slip into from time to time, right? We want something so bad, it may be even something spiritual, but it's more for us than it is for Christ and His kingdom and His glory. And because it's for us, we're not going to receive it because we're asking amiss to consume it upon our own lust. We're not asking it because it's a promise. We're not asking it because that's our spiritual need. We're asking it so we might boast in it or people might praise us in it. And that's where we have to be on guard against that. Amen?
Amen.
So the clarification is, I have to ask according to His will. When I first met Brenda, I moved from Panama City to Mariana, Florida, and we were trying to settle in, nine of us, into a little two-bedroom shack, really, with the porch was on the back of the bathroom was on the back of the porch. It was very fun to go out there during winter months to go use a bathroom or take a bath. And her family came over, but she's a little bit shy, and so she just kind of stood in the field between us, and I looked over there and I saw her in the field. I was in eighth grade. She's in the eighth grade, and the first thought that crossed my mind is, I'm going to marry her. That's not the first thought that crossed her mind when she saw me. And marvelous grace of God, we decided to go to a school, and she went to the same school. We rode the same bus together. And so I just started trying to be friends, you know, just trying to get her to where she might hang out around me for a little while. Well, thankfully, things progressed to the point that she was expressing some interest in liking me, and I was expressing interest in liking her, which I always had done. And then she broke everything off. She said, look, we can't have no relationship. I'll try to make this short. We can't have no relationship. You know, you're not a Christian. I'm not supposed to date you. And boy, you talk about a heart that just had sunk. And then things would pick up again. And along that time, I genuinely met Christ as my Savior as well. And I thought that would settle everything. You know, I'm saved. Her dad said, just wait. Wait and see. See if he's really saved or not. And we started dating again. And then she, out of just nowhere, broke it off again. Man, I went in another tailspin, you know. I thought if I don't marry her, I don't know what I'd do the rest of my life, you know. So I prayed, Lord, help me to marry her, change her heart, you know. And I finally did this, because I didn't know if that was God's will or not. And I remember one time going home, and I said, Lord, this is yours. If you want me to marry her, make it so. If not, make it so.
Amen.
I'm glad that it was His will, but I had resigned this. If it was not His will, I wanted His will. And sometimes when you're praying about something, you've got to get to a place in that. There was no verse that said, Tommy, thou shalt marry Brenda. And a lot of times in life, you're going to have situations similar to that.
Right.
And you have to get to a place where you don't have a will in the matter.
Right. Yes.
You have to say, God, whatever you want, that's what I want.
Right.
And if you can get there, then God will hear that request and answer that request. Amen?
Amen.
Now, many times we face this in life. For instance, your employment. You ought to pray about where you're going to work. Amen? But most of you probably got a job without praying much about it. Right? Because we get so used to saying, well, I got to do this, I got to do that, so here's something available, and I think it'll pay the bills, and so we jump on doing that, and we haven't spent hardly any time praying about it. God, what do you want me to do? And direct me in there. And there is no verse in here that says, thou shalt be a nurse or be a police officer or work at Costco or whatever else the other ones do. No verse in there like that. You can't get that kind of help, right? Wouldn't you love that? Can I say something to you? Even those things, God's will can be known. That's why it's important that you walk close to Him. Because if you're close to Him, guess what He'll do to you? He'll make known whether He wants you to work here or not. When we first moved here to Jacksonville. I had a job interview with a company that I was doing the same type of work. When I left Mariana, I would be doing the same type of work here. And so I went and interviewed with them, and when I interviewed with them, they had rock and roll music blaring, and I thought, boy, this is going to be a rough atmosphere to work in all day long. And they called me back and said, hey, you can start Monday morning. Come on in Monday morning. And I was praying, and I said, Lord, I don't know what I'm going to do. I just don't know. Is that what you want me to do or not? And then Brenda had a cousin say, Tommy, if you want to, come and work with me. Start with me on Monday. And I thank God that he opened up that door, and it was not his will to direct me in the other way. But if he had directed me in that other way, guess what? He would have worked that out as well. But that's not what he wanted. He made a different way for me. Why did he do that? Because I was seeking his will and not my own will. Purchasing vehicles, buying homes, a lot of these things are not covered specifically in the Bible. Thou shalt purchase this home and not that home, right? But if we have resigned ourselves to do God's will, God shall direct us in making all of those decisions, and every one of those decisions should be prayed over, earnestly seeking the will of God. Only God knows if that house really has termites or not, by the way. Amen?
Amen.
So what is he saying? And what's the claim that he's making? He's saying this. Anything that I ask in God's will, God will give it to me. No questions about it. Now, one other caveat I probably need to lay out before you. That's not a promise that he's going to give it to you right this moment. It means I've heard your prayer and I have granted that, and you may not get it this week or this month or next month, but I will work that out in your life. It is answered. You're guaranteed for an answer to that prayer. How can I know that I'm praying along those lines? Look in 1 Thessalonians. We'll look at a few verses together. By the way, your Bible is full of verses and promises and commands that you and I could say, no, I know that's God's will. God said that plainly to me. I know it's His will. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Look at verse 23, if you would. And verily, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And the very God of peace sanctify you, I mean completely and entirely. Do you want to be set apart for God's use only? Is that God's will? The very God of peace sanctify you entirely wholly? Yes, it's God's will, right? How many of y'all see that? You see that? It's important that you see that.
I see it.
Paul goes on to say, I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can't even imagine that, can we? Have you ever thought about praying that verse as a prayer? God, sanctify me wholly. Body, soul, and spirit, and preserve me blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Is that God's will? Yes, that's God's will. You and I ought to be pleading God that He would work that in us, that we would be entirely set apart for God only. And I share with you, there's many other passages just like this. Go to Ephesians 5 and verse 18. There's probably at least two things you need to pray about here in this verse. Ephesians 5 and verse 18. You might not have to pray about the first part of that. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess. I hope you don't have to pray about that part of it. But look at the second part of it. But be filled with the Spirit. How many of y'all know it's God's will that you be filled with the Holy Spirit? Filled. By the way, if you look at that in the Greek tense, it's be being filled. It's not just come to the altar and get filled once. It's be being constantly filled with the Holy Spirit. That's God's will, as if you're always full of the Holy Spirit continuously. You say, preacher, I'm not filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm certainly not filled with the Holy Spirit continuously. Have you asked Him for that?
Amen.
You know what we do from time to time? We have kind of spurts. All right, listen to me, spurts. We realize we need the Holy Spirit. We say, God, fill me with Your Holy Spirit. Empower me, God. I can't do anything without You. God, anoint me and help me and fill me. And then it'll be maybe 2 or 3 months later. And we're back saying, God, please, fill me, anoint me, use me. Right? When this should be a constant prayer of ours, a continual prayer of ours. Lord, lead me by the Holy Spirit. Lord, direct me by the Holy Spirit. Lord, fill me with the Holy Spirit. Amen? By the way, if you ask God to fill you with the Holy Spirit, would God do that?
Yes.
Well, according to 1 John 5, verses 14 and 15, He would have to.
Amen.
Do y'all see that? Would He have to?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, He'd have to. Why? Because that's His will. That's what He commanded.
Yes, right.
If He commanded you to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you're praying that you'd be filled with the Holy Spirit. Guess what? He will fill you with the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen?
By the way, He might even take things out of your life that ought not to be in there. That's keeping you from being filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Look at Matthew chapter 5. In verse number 19. This is probably a familiar one with you as well. Matthew 5. Verse number 19. There are a couple of things about this. I pray that when I pray this verse, there's a couple of things I pray when I pray this verse. Matthew 4, I say 5, Matthew 4, 19. This is Jesus called His disciples. They were fishermen. They fished for fish. And Jesus wants to make them fisher of men. And He says this in Matthew 4:19, and He saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. How many of you are a bold witness for Christ? And you're witnessing constantly, and you're casting out. You may not be catching a lot, but you're fishing a lot. I mean, you're fishing a lot. Jesus said, if you follow me, I will make you fishers of men. I will make you a soul winner, is what His promise is. Amen?
Amen.
You will catch men. If I pray about this first one or two things, I ought to pray about it. Lord, help me to follow You.
Yes.
I want to be a fisher of men. Don't you want to be a fisher? I want to keep people out of hell.
Amen.
I want God to use me so people don't die in their sin and spend eternity in hell. Lord, help me to follow You.
Amen.
And make me. Who does the making here? They're not making themselves fishers of men, are they? As they follow Jesus, Jesus is transforming them into fishers of men. And I just want to say to you, look at this verse in light of 1 John 5, 14 and 15. Does God want you to be a soul winner? Absolutely. Does He want you catching men for His glory? Yes. Does He want you following Jesus? Yes. So if I prayed this prayer, would God answer that prayer?
Yes.
Yes, there's no doubt about it. And by the way, there are many, many, many other things in the Bible that you and I should go to and say, Lord, make that true in my life. Think of the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You think it's God's will that you be poor in spirit? That you be empty of yourself? It is God's will. That you be empty of yourself and have no confidence. There's nothing here that you can hold on to or rely in. That you're just empty of all that you are, all that you hope to be. I have nothing. Nothing that I can depend on or trust in. Yes, that's what God wants. He wants you to be poor in spirit. If this is an appropriate prayer, then, Lord, make me poor in spirit. Just make sure you add the spirit at the end of that. I'm joking. You know. You might need to be poor in other ways to make you poor in spirit, right? I almost want you to just kind of open your Bible and put your finger down and read for a little bit, see if you can find a promise. Because that's what the Bible is intended to be for every single one of us. Anytime you see a command here, anytime you see something that Christ wants from you, you know that is the will of God, and it's easier for you to say, God, grant that in my life, make that true in me. I'm thinking this. If we prayed more biblical prayers like this, I think we would all grow exceedingly quicker than what we're growing. How many of y'all believe that? I plead with you, think about what the things that you are currently praying about. What are some of the things on your prayer list? And by the way, we noticed this during our week of prayer. It's all right to pray for the sick and the afflicted. That's Jesus healed them, right?
Amen.
He still has the power to heal. That's an appropriate prayer, but that should not be the only thing on our list. Where is our spiritual development? Where is us becoming like Christ? Where is us becoming humble? And many other things that God wants from us. I'm telling you, it is absent from our prayer list. That might be why we're not experiencing much more of the Bible than what we currently are. Because we're not asking God and believing God is going to do this in me because I know this is God's will for my life. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, let me assure you of this. If you come to this altar today, you bow your head and you say, Jesus, forgive me and save me. I promise you this, Jesus will save you.
Amen.
You say, preacher, how do you know that? Well, it's God's will that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance.
Amen.
He said in the book of 2 Timothy, that it's God's will that men would be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. He said in John 3:16, God so loved the world that gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. So if I come this morning, He said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If I come to this altar and say, Lord, save me, guess what God will do? He'll save me. Amen? And by the way, there's no doubt about it. And I don't have to wait for that. That don't come months later. I'd be born in the family of God as soon as I bowed my head and prayed, Lord Jesus, save me. And He would save me immediately.
Right.
Why do I know today's the day of salvation?
Right.
Now. What does the Bible say? Now is the accepted time. Amen?
Right.
If today's the day and now is the time when I pray, now I'm going to get the answer. Amen? Y'all see that? And Christian, can I get you to do something this morning? Reevaluate your prayer list. Would you please do that? Reevaluate your prayer list. Go through your Bible. You might could even do this. If you don't know the Bible that well, you can even ask your phone now. What are some things Christians should pray for so they can mature in the faith? And that might give you a list of things. You can start using that list. Amen?
Amen.
And as you read your Bible and you come across promises and you say, that's not me. That's Christ said He wants that. I don't love my enemies. If that's true, what kind of prayer should I pray? Would God enable me to love my enemies, truly love my enemies? Yes. Why? Because that's His will. And if I pray that, He's going to hear it. And I'm going to have the petition I desire of Him.
Amen.
Y'all see how critical that is?
Yes, it is.
How true it is? God will do that for you.
Right.
If you're here and you're lost, come to Jesus. He'll save you this morning. Amen? Christian, if there's something you need in your life, come. Ask God according to His will, and you can stand up knowing God is going to do that. Amen? Because He cannot lie.
That's right.
He always tells the truth. Amen?
Amen?
Let's stand for prayer. Father, I just thank You, Lord, for making Your Word so plain to us. These promises, they don't need really much preaching on them. You said it so clearly, God, there's no doubt. If we pray according to Your will, You hear us. We've got confidence in that. It's a joyful knowledge that this will happen because I'm asking God to do what I know is the will of God. So, Lord, if there are some here this morning that are unsaved, help them, Lord, to come to this altar and say, Lord Jesus, save me. And God, help them to realize that because they're praying according to Your will, You will hear their prayer and You will save them this very day. And then, God, I pray for other Christians, or some are struggling. God, if there's unforgiveness in their heart, Lord, You've taught us in Your Word that You want us to be forgiving. Forgive a brother who's transgressed against us, even if it's 490 times in a single day. Lord, I can't forgive like that. I don't have that within me, but You have that within You. Lord, make me a forgiving man, a merciful man, a kind man, a man that's full of love and hope, peace, and temperance. God bless our church. Help them to come to this altar this morning as well. And pray Your will concerning their life. Lord, if there's some who are dealing with sin, help them to know, Jesus, You're the only one that can save us from our sins. It takes Your power to deliver us from the sin problems in our life. If we struggle and try to overcome them ourselves, we'll fail, miserably fail. But we need to bring those sins to Jesus and ask Jesus to save us, deliver us, and set us free. Lord, please bless in this invitation. Have Your way, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. Turn to 272. 272. You need to come for prayer. Please come. Let's do what God would have us to do this morning. Amen.